Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Andrea.
Spring has sprung, the flowers are out, the birds are singing, and everything is sweetness and light in City Hall, right, Beth?
It's a great week for Mayor Bill de Blasio. He secured a contract agreement with the teachers union, the largest union. There's 150 unions who still don't have contracts. And so this sets a pattern when he's able to say, I was giving them raises that averaged about 2% a year over a 9-year period, which includes the years that their contract had expired under former Mayor Bloomberg. But it's also a little bit of a cloudy forecast, Andrea, because this contract relies on, for the teachers alone, $1 billion in healthcare savings, which have yet to be outlined. And the mayor is counting on them just coming up with that and finding mutual agreement. And that would set the pattern for the other labor unions. And he needs the Municipal Labor Committee to agree to that.
Do you get the sense that they're actual functioning of the schools is going to change? There seemed to be a whiff of that in this agreement, that it wasn't going to be Bloomberg versus the teachers as it had been. Now it was going to be City Hall and the teachers working together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mayor de Blasio called this a thorough reset of the school system, one in which it was not about bad relations and bashing each other, but more about bringing parents in who felt disengaged during the Bloomberg years, making them feel more involved in the school. In fact, it's mandated now that there will be 4 parent-teacher conferences a year instead of 2, that teachers are going to have more time for professional development. So there's a lot built into this contract to change the school day and to give teachers more time to work on their craft. And that's a very different mood than what we had during the Bloomberg years, where it was more about data and testing.
Ice cold, I would say, was the relationship.
And you could tell from this press conference when Chancellor Carmen Farina announced the deal with the head of the teachers union, Michael Mulgrew, there was a lot of love in the air.
One of the things that Michael and I agreed is that we'd hug each other in public. Because a system always works better when the people involved in it actually talk to each other.
And that was the theme again and again, that we're talking to each other. This is going to be something that is working with teachers, not just doing something to them. And the chancellor said she couldn't stop smiling. She was so happy about all the things she was able to get in this contract to encourage teachers to collaborate and share and to work on their craft.
A little harder to smile this week if you were Governor Chris Christie. He had a budget gap. He's having more subpoenas. And he's even having national Republicans, including some from his own party, like Christine Whitman, saying they might support another candidate for president.
This is starting to look like an epic second-term collapse. It really is. I mean, he's got huge problems off of the very successes he had in his first term. You know, he had pension reform. Now we're looking at an $800 million hole in this year's budget that's got to be closed by June 30th. Fitch just downgraded the bond rating. So then his other big success, the Sandy recovery, a HUD report comes out this week with all kinds of details of a critique of the way the state has run the recovery program. So these big successes that Christie had in his first term are now coming back, you know, to haunt him.
And the script that he tried to write, which was that they were going to release this Mastro report, quote unquote, exonerating him, it isn't what he was hoping, which was that the report would be released and he could stop answering questions.
Right. And he keeps saying, OK, now we're going to move on. And nobody's moving on. And the investigations are continuing. And really, what we're going to see this coming week is a lot more detail and a lot more interest, because some of the lesser known people who are critical to telling the story of what was going on are going to be testifying before the state legislative committee. So the master of his message that he always was in his first term, he's really struggling now.
And there was a poll this week showing that among those nationally paying attention to Bridgegate, people are not believing Christie. Very different narrative now than one that he would have, that we would have expected, you know, if we'd rerun the clock and there hadn't been those traffic jams in Fort Lee.
And the most critical aspect of that erosion of support are his Republican donors. And as the New York Times reported this week, a lot of big time money people are starting to have doubts about whether they want to invest in his presidential campaign. And that is giving rise to a very attractive candidate, Jeb Bush, who's coming out of the wings saying, maybe I am interested.
All right. So that could be Bush-Clinton in 2016. Oh, boy.
That sounds familiar.
Thank you so much, Nancy. Beth.
Thanks, Andrea.
Thank you.
And you can follow us on Twitter at Andrea WNYC, at Beth Furtick, and at Nancy Solomon, too.